When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Google Maps adds Tesla superchargers, the new Bolt enters production, and some cheap BYDs for Australia. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you why the nicest place to charge might just be a Porsche lounge. Let's get into it. Charging operators are now sharing more data with third-party apps and automakers as time goes on, and now Google Maps will show real-time Tesla supercharger availability. Maps already listed supercharger locations. The app will now report how many installs a site has and how many are occupied. And I wonder if they'll also know which ones are out of order, because I was watching Kyle from Out of Spec actually have a look at the Tesla diner. And he says, oh, let's check Google Maps, because, you know, in his latest YouTube video, Google Maps should be showing Tesla superchargers. And it showed two fewer than there actually were there. So maybe a couple were out of order, or maybe just they weren't bringing in all of them. I think it was sort of 78 superchargers on that location, not 80, which is still incredible. Either way, it follows Google's EV routing work, which also incorporates live plug availability. I have experience of that because my Polestar runs Google natively. And honestly, it works really, really well. The change won't matter much for Tesla drivers. Their in-car navigation already did show, of course, Tesla supercharger occupancy. But it makes a big difference for those accessing Tesla superchargers in a non-Tesla EV and Android users who prefer Google Maps over Android Maps as well. Increasing data sharing is making life much easier for you and I and EV drivers. Now, General Motors kicked off production of the Chevrolet Bolt. I think we're calling it the second generation Chevy Bolt at the Fairfax Assembly Plant in Kansas. They did this 4 days ago, reported by GM Authority and confirmed by a Chevrolet spokesperson. First vehicles will reach dealers sometime in January next year. It will be sold in the US as a 2027 model year. GM disclosed core specs at a customer event back in October. EPA will be 255 miles, 410 kilometers, rapid charging 150 kilowatts. New Bolt shares components with the Equinox, you won't be surprised to hear. The motor, 157 kilowatts. The battery, 65 kilowatt hours. GM is switching to LFP cells, lithium iron phosphate, more robust, cheaper, and a change that will bring lower pricing as well. So at launch, the Bolt LT with comfort package starts at $29,990. A planned one LT, we think, will be about $28,995 in time. There should be an RS version as well, and the top RS with tech package and panoramic roof would top out around $35,000-$36,000. But get it under $30,000, that's the big headline price. The Bolt should be, along with the new Leaf, a really interesting couple of additions to the US EV landscape in 2026. Now, let's talk about some very interesting additions down under, and that's BYD. Now, when BYD sell these vehicles in Australia next month, they will be branded the Atto 1 and the Atto 2. The Atto 1, let's just get straight to it. The pricing starts at $24,000 Australian, and the Atto 2 starts at $32,000 Aussie dollars. So let's get into the specs, and I'll give you the prices where you might be listening. The Atto 1, otherwise known as the Dolphin Mini, And the Seagull uses BYD's Blade Battery, their E-Platform 3. It's a compact hatchback, so it's a small city car, the Atto 1. It's got a 5-metre turning circle. It's got vehicle to load, though, over the air updates. This would suit fleets, councils, utilities, car sharing schemes, or individuals that want a smaller city car. A sub-$25,000 entry price. So there's two battery sizes on the Atto 1. The Atto 1 is the essential trim, is a 30 kilowatt hour pack, which is about there or thereabouts for small batteries here in Europe as well. The motor is 65 kilowatts. The WLTP is 220 kilometers, and the pricing is $24,000. That is $15,500 equivalent. That is about where we are with the cheapest cars. The cheapest cars we've got are the Leapmotor T3, the Dacia Spring, and if you want to go used, maybe a year old, Great Wall Motor, GWM, Funky Cat, which has had horrific depreciation, but get a nearly new car, a year old, whatever it's called now, they've changed it, but the launch one was called Funky Cat, and you can get a low mileage one of those in the low teens as well. It's about half the price that it was when it was new, and so that's... And that's actually a really nice car with good specs. The Atto 1 Premium in Australia adds the 43 kilowatt hour pack, doubles the motor size, 0 to 60s down to 9 seconds, but it costs $28,000. That is $18,000 equivalent. Now, I told you this was cheap, right? The Atto 2 comes in just one battery size. It's 51 kilowatt hours, and there's two specs on that, which is either 32 or 36,000 Aussie dollars for the different trims. That is either 21,000 or 23,500 US dollars equivalent. So all of those two vehicles in four trims would easily be the cheapest vehicles on sale in most countries, wouldn't they? Both models reach Aussie dealerships next month in December, joining BYD's Atto 3, Seal, Dolphin, Shark 6, Sea Lion 6 and 7. Now, Ford will add its hands-off Blue Cruise technology to increasing EV models here in the UK. Launched a couple of years ago, Blue Cruise is level 2 plus, according to them, with legal approval for use over here in the UK, uses radars and cameras, and it's a bit like any other good adaptive cruise control from the likes of BMW, Volvo, Mercedes, etc. But you are allowed to remove your hands from the wheel on Blue Cruise roads. That's about 95%, pretty much all of our motorway network. You have to keep your eyes on the road. They're adding Blue Cruise not only to the Mustang Mach-E, we get that already, but to the Puma Gen-E as well. Peugeot is updating the 308, the 308 and 308 SW. Some new diamond cut alloys, and the E308 and E308 SW have the new 18-inch wheels as well, 10-inch central touchscreen and a digital instrument cluster, 3D graphics on the display with some big luggage space as well. And there comes in plug-in hybrids version 2, the Allure GT and GT Premium trims have full LED headlights, rear parking sensors, reversing camera as well. They eliminate the grille and the badge too. Leather steering wheel, some faux leather Alcantara inside as well, a heat pump, 360-degree camera, heated steering wheel, adaptive cruise and massage function on the driver's seat too. Some good specs on those little Peugeots, isn't it? Now, let's talk about a plug-in hybrid coming to the UK from one of the brands making some noise right now. That's Omoda. It's a mid-size SUV, the Omoda 7, the Chinese company, adding a plug-in hybrid version next January. Plug-in hybrid's £32,000, and that'll sit between the Omoda 5 and the Omoda 9. It uses their super hybrid system with an 18.3 kilowatt-hour battery. So pretty small these days by China standards for a plug-in hybrid battery. Some of those EREV batteries are getting up to big, big sizes. But they say 56 miles on EV mode alone. Talking of China, by the way, a quick mention on this main podcast about how China is doing. You can always check out more China news on our spin-off show, EV News China. But October's sales figures are in, and 51.6% of the market was NEV. So that's either a full BEV or a plug socket on the side, so a plug-in hybrid or an EREV. Experts expect the market to keep accelerating as consumer demand and policy measures steer the industry towards growth in EVs. From January to October, China produced 27.69 million vehicles and sold about the same as well, up 10% year on year. NEV output, NEV output for the period, was 13 million. And so over 50% of cars in China sold now in the new car market now have a plug socket on the side. There's a new Honda electric motorcycle, which looks sweet, by the way. I'm not allowed a motorbike because I used to ride motorbikes, and we don't have really many Vitos in our relationship. I'm very lucky. I picked a good one. And but my wife says, can you just not have a motorbike? Just because we have two young children. She's a nurse, by the way. And my dad was a paramedic, and he scraped plenty of motorcyclists off the road. And so my wife's got, would you just mind not having a bike? Because a few times over the years I've tabled it. I'd like to get a bike. I used to ride motorbikes. You know, maybe an electric motorbike. They're still quite expensive, but they're coming down. As a fine weather Sunday drive. Now we have a garage, and she's, would you mind not? So I love electric motorbikes, but I'm not allowed to get one myself. So I am paying attention to them, and the new Honda WN7 is what's called a naked motorcycle. I'm not up on the ins and outs of electric motorbikes, so I'll hand this one over to rideapart.com, where I found this article. The WN7 fits into the naked bike segment, which has been about keeping things simple and focusing on riding. These bikes are easy to live with, sporty to enjoy twisty roads, and don't take themselves too seriously. Honda wanted the WN7 to carry the energy, like a CB750 or a CB650R, into the electric era. The bike runs on a new water-cooled electric motor, an integrated inverter, putting 67 horsepower down on the road. That's about the same power as you get from a 650cc middleweight, but you get the instant torque every time you twist the throttle. Power goes through a gearbox and belt drive, keeping things smooth and quiet. Honda integrates the battery pack into the chassis rather than a conventional frame, like being a stressed member engine would be, with the battery case and the steering head and the swing arm all mounted directly to that central part. It's a 9.3 kilowatt hour battery, 87 miles of range, CCS2, fast charging on it as well. Couldn't get price on this, but this thing looks so sweet. Obviously, in the bike world, we talk about Livewire and the regular names there, but Honda, famous on, you know, in two wheels, going electric, this thing, and it just looks so cool as well. Really simple, quite futuristic, and man, I would absolutely love one of these, but not allowed. I've made peace with that. Now we'll talk about the next generation BMW M3 going electric and a wallbox supernova. What's one of those? I'll tell you soon. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, London will start charging to drive your EV next year into the congestion zone. From the 2nd of January, London's congestion charge will be £18. Now, electric cars will get a discount, but until now have been free. The mayor, Sadiq Khan, plans to remove what's called the clean vehicle discount. So it's not that EVs were free, it's that they were temporarily exempted. And that exemption is not being renewed, as it were. I guess it, in a way, it's semantics, but it's the way you look at it. But there's a tiered system. So electric vans, HGVs and quadricycles get a 50% discount, which lowers the fee to £9 if you are on TfL's autopay. So if you want to drive your EV into the centre of London now, which I've done a few times, I've not really needed to, then it's no longer free, but you've got to pay your £9. There are times of the day and the week when the congestion charge doesn't apply, I think. Last time I checked, the announcement follows a report from the UK government that's now also considering a pay-per-mile approach. Whether that'll be part of the budget in the next couple of weeks or so, we don't know. That's not exactly a vote winner. I think that would be something that you'd have to say, we are introducing pay-per-mile as a country, which would be a huge change. And it's in X many years' time to allow everyone to get used to the idea. There will be huge pushback. The idea of charging by the mile is entirely new. I'm sure life would go on, by the way. We've survived worse. But people would be up in arms. And so they've got to try and replace some of that lost fuel duty. We're not only driving a lot more EVs, but diesel and petrol cars are also driving a lot less. By the way, the average mileage driven in this country has been going down over the last couple of decades and continues to go down. So there's a big black hole in the government's fuel duty, and people are blaming EVs. It's partly it, but the total number that we're, you know, that's missing, as it were, over the last couple of decades is just because people are driving a lot less anyway. So we'll wait and see what they do with that. But yeah, driving into London's about to get a lot more expensive if you have an EV. Now, BMW confirmed the next generation M3 will be both saloon and touring version. And the M3 lineup will have two distinct variants. And one of them will be full electric. Here we go. Full electric. Touring version of a BMW M3. That'll do me. The announcement arrives as BMW's Neue Klasse transition is now entering, well, it really full swing, reshaping the range and following speculation after the high-performance iX3 M prompted questions about estate offerings, touring, wagon, whatever you want to call it, in the M portfolio. The all-electric iM3 will use a high-output four-motor arrangement with a variable all-wheel drive system. They've been doing prototype testing on the Nürburgring for about a year now with flared wheel arches and things that give away what they are testing. 1,000 horsepower. BMW confirming the next M5 will be electric touring as well. There's going to be a load of those on the German autobahns in a few years' time, aren't they? And they look great. Now, Wallbox, the company Wallbox, have a new system called the Supernova Power Ring. And that is 720 kilowatts of shared charging. Wallbox's Supernova Power Ring is a modular, connected DC fast charging system delivering 400 kilowatts at a time to a single vehicle and a shared capacity of 720. For destination charging and semi-public charging locations, compact, it's modular, and they share the energy intelligently, pooling any unused capacity. Obviously, as EVs arrive, each one is different and can take a different amount of energy. But also, as an EV fills up, it slows down. And so, if you have a total amount of power at a site, to be able to constantly load balance and going, okay, well, that Porsche Taycan no longer needs 270, but this Audi e-tron's turned up and then that needs to, and move it around, that reduces idle energy and infrastructure needs. It maximizes installed capacity. It's all smart stuff. Each power ring can connect up to 3 Supernova units and provide 6 outlets, enabling scalable installed capacities up to 720 kilowatts, like I say, and they'll also add some intelligent power sharing algorithms soon as well to distribute energy not only amongst the chargers, but amongst multiple sites in a location too. Okay, finally, let's talk about one of the nicest places to charge, and that is Porsche's charging lounges. Now, no one has replicated the Tesla supercharging network to the scale, I mean, not even scratch the surface. Maybe there's a lot of investment in China by the automakers, but in the West, no chance. Some of them have done their own thing, though, and Porsche have done their own thing for Porsche drivers. And if I were one and needed to charge and I was somewhere near, I would definitely go out of my way to charge here. Their 10th charging lounge is now open in Europe. Use the Porsche charging service, which does give you access to, well, like all of these charging services, they just pull together tons of networks. So you can drive across Europe anyway using your Porsche app with 95,000 fast chargers inside the app. However, they've also got their own charging network. There's 10 of their locations and they're just absolutely gorgeous. They must spend a fortune on these because they look brilliant. And it's the second lounge on the A9 after Ingolstadt. And the A9 links the Berlin Ring with Munich over about 530 kilometers. So there's 6 fast charging stalls there, but each charger can deliver 400 kilowatts. And if they're all full, they will all deliver maximum power. But it's the lounge. So there's lovely, relaxed seating areas. There's snacks on offer. They've got soft drink selection. You've got coffee and water selections as well. Obviously, complimentary high-speed Wi-Fi too. So if you have a Porsche ID and you've got your number plate in the Porsche app, then when you pull up to the barrier, it will open, please enter and please charge your car here via your license plate recognition and then have a lovely experience. Obviously only for Porsche owners, but if I were one and I was anywhere near, I would definitely use these because, yes, it's exclusive and you can argue the pros and cons of locking down a network, but as a nice little bonus, the way that the Tesla Supercharger entire network used to be a nice moat for Tesla owners, this looks really, really nice to enjoy a charge. And of course, if you do own a Porsche, either it's going to be a Taycan or a Macan or a Cayenne, you won't be there very long, which is a shame because they all charge stupid fast. And that's your podcast for today. Thank you so much to our premium partners, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.